Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of On the Trail is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflags.com or check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. They've got every kind of flag that you could ever possibly hope for. Adam Gray, you have to give up the Cyclone Fanatic flag now that you're leaving Cyclone Fanatic. I hope you know that. That was courtesy of Heartland Flags.
Come get it, buddy. Try to pry that flag out of my hands. I dare you.
I will. We'll fight for it. We'll play one-on-one for it on Sunday night.
We'll see who's standing.
So check out Heartland Flags online, heartlandflags.com. Check out their showroom. They've got every flag that you could pretty much ever hope for. Rob Gray, his bird flags. They've got NASCAR for Chris, NBA for me and Bloom. They've got it all. They've got it all. That's all there is to it.
You know I do watch the NBA as well.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they do have it all.
You didn't even know what 2K was the right 2K, so you can't say you like watch the NBA. You had to ask me.
That's how you have your vast knowledge of NBA via video games.
No,
Not actually watching or playing, but video games.
I actually learned a lot about the NBA in the 90s from watching the Sports Illustrated Year in Review videotapes.
Yeah. I used to get those gifts like Come Fly With Us or Come Fly With Me, the Michael Jordan videos when they won like 1991, and we used to watch those and repeat those. And then the baseball George Brett's hitting video,
yeah,
we used to watch those things all the time. That's how I kind of became a sports fan. That's how I, honest to God, I think I learned how to pitch by watching like little instructional videos as a kid. Because think about it, back then there was nothing on, you get like four channels, right? In 1990, you didn't get many channels there. And during the day, what was there that was entertaining to watch? You had Price Is Right, and then after Price Is Right, you had Young and the Restless. God, I love Young and the Restless. But then after that, there was nothing. So we would pop in these videos, and we would sit there and we'd watch them, and that's kind of where I became a sports fan.
What, you mean you didn't want to watch the same SportsCenter for like 13 straight hours?
You know what? I actually did that a lot too. I did. We watched that over and over and over again in the summers.
Yeah, I would say during the summer, I would always watch. I would watch the same SportsCenter just over and over again. It took me until I was probably in third or fourth grade to realize it was just the same one.
Same one.
Yeah.
But you know what? That was back when it was actually, they showed highlights. And
right.
Nothing but highlights, and it was great. And you know, whenever soccer or hockey came on, you flipped the channel for a little, or maybe that's when you went to...
Stupid Barry Melrose.
Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. And that's actually how I became a Braves fan. Everyone always asks, well, you're from Iowa. How are you a Braves fan? They were on TBS every day. Mm-hmm. In the summer, my parents were both working.
The Superstation.
Yeah, they gave us a chore list. Once we got the chore list done, we could do whatever. We'd go outside, play basketball, baseball, and I'd come in and I'd watch the Braves play baseball. And I loved it.
The good old days.
The good old days. Speaking of the good old days, I hear you're going up, after we get done with this podcast, you're going up to Iowa Falls.
I am, for the tailgate tour.
Is this the last leg of the tailgate tour?
Well, they go to Waterloo after that, but this is the last day.
Okay, last day you're going?
No, this is the last day.
Oh, you mean they go Iowa Falls and then Waterloo in the same day?
Yeah.
I gotcha. Iowa Falls is my second home. That's where both my parents graduated. My grandparents lived there before they passed. My aunt and uncle, cousins. So Iowa Falls, I have a lot of good memories up there.
The home of all-time great Nick Carlson.
Nick Carlson. My cousin dated Nick for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a story.
There is a story. I used to go up and watch him play high school. That team was the best high school basketball team I'd ever seen until Ames, Harrison, Barnes, and McDermott.
Why haven't you gotten us some tickets then?
To what?
To some Thunder games.
Nick, I guarantee you, would not know who I am.
Oh.
I did, though, when he was a senior. I went down and watched him play down in Florida. It was him. Think about this AAU team. Him, Heinrich, Dunleavy, Boozer, Jay Williams, and Jay Williams was the best out of all of them. Jay Williams was a stud.
Like Jay Williams, Duke Jay Williams?
Yeah, Duke Jay Williams. Just a stud.
Wasn't he still Jason then?
Yeah, he was. No, he was Jay then, and then he wanted to be called Jason, right?
I thought he was Jason, then he wanted to be Jay.
I don't remember. It's hard to keep track of this stuff. It's not. But yeah, that was the team, and I went down there and watched him play like the U.S. versus World tournament, Nike tournament down there, and I got to go up and see all the, like, Tubby Smith was there back when he was with Kentucky, and Montgomery, who I think at the time was with, Stanford? So yeah, that was fun.
There you go. Now that we've...
good stories,
now
huh?
Now we've talked all about Nick Carlson. So Adam Gray, this is your final Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Yes, it is.
Is this just a bittersweet moment, or is it just sweet?
Just joyous.
Yeah.
Pure joy. No, it's bittersweet for sure. Absolutely bittersweet. I've had fun doing these with you guys.
So for this podcast, you're going to give us five takes For how far into the future did you say that you were going to go here?
Well, I was going to go 5 years.
Okay, so we got five takes for the next 5 years of Iowa State athletics, and then I'm going to tell you if they're good or bad, right? Isn't that kind of what the plan was?
Yeah, some of them are coming up for this season because it's a little bit hard to get too crazy with these. These are hot takes, and some of them.
It looks like you have more than five on your paper there.
No, I just took some notes.
Okay.
I wrote some notes down. You want me to start with number one here?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Jacob Park is going to break the single-season touchdown record, which people think, well, that's not that.
It's only 20, isn't it?
It's only 20. It's not impressive. That's not what the hot take is. Hot take's he's going to do it game 10. And then the next two games, he's going to be padding the stat. He's getting 28 touchdowns this year. Okay, so the beginning of game 10, he's breaking that record. Mm-hmm. He also has a chance to, even though he's going to do it in 2.5 seasons, he's got a chance to break Brett Meyer's all-time record that he did in 4 years of 50 touchdowns. He's going to break the single-season completion percentage record of 62.1% by Seneca and Steele Jantz. All these records are going down this year.
What about the yardage?
Yardage is 3245 by Seneca. I don't think that one's going to be broken.
Is that a single season or is that?
That's a season.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a season by Seneca. And that one he's got a chance on. But I think the running game is going to be okay with the two running backs to where they can rely on that a little bit more. Seneca's team, he had to throw. Like, he had to be the guy. They didn't have – their offensive line was terrible.
I mean, that's pretty close to throwing for 300 yards a game, so.
You know what this really tells me as I was looking through these stats, though? Seneca, you know, he threw a lot of interceptions, but what people don't realize is he wasn't – this was back in the day before they threw the bubble passes that inflate completion percentages quite a bit. He actually was throwing downfield, and he was throwing to smaller receivers. No offense to Jack or Lane. These weren't Alan Lazard's here with the, you know, 6'8". You know, wingspan here to catch these balls to or throw these balls to. He was throwing to smaller guys with a bad offensive line. Most accurate quarterback I've ever seen at Iowa State, despite his interceptions.
So Jacob Park's going to surpass that?
Yeah, because, like I said, part of it is you know, you do see a lot more of these screen pass out to wide receivers where the completion percentage should be about 90% on those. So I think it kind of typically – it's not a true comparison.
Yeah. Just the game's different.
The game's different.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I'll.
Good take, bad take?
Yeah, I can agree with that take.
10 games. Not even by the beginning of the 10th game, he's going to break this record. Beginning of the 10th game.
See, I mean, that's not. I mean, you just got to throw two touchdowns a game for 10 games. Like, that's not that.
No.
That's not that wild.
I don't think
how
so.
How has that not happened? Like, how. It blows my mind when I look at those passing records.
The passing records at Iowa State are pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, they're absolutely pathetic. So, yeah. I mean, he could. He's got 12 touchdowns so far last year. Mm-hmm. So now he has to throw 38 over 2 years to tie Brett Meyer's record.
Yeah. As long as he.
That's 19 a year. I don't think that's crazy. I think he's breaking that. I think he breaks that record.
As long as he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. Knock on some wood here.
Yeah.
Why do you say things like that?
Well, I'm just saying. I got to play the devil's advocate.
Well, you can play devil's advocate without, you know.
I knocked on wood.
Yeah, but you brought an injury into it. We don't need that.
All right. Give me number two.
Number two. And this is one everyone's going to love and everyone's going to agree with. We're getting back to the early 2000 days starting now. Iowa State, starting this season, is going to go to bowling. They're going to go to a bowl game 5 out of the next 6 seasons.
Which one will they not go?
I mean, come on. I'm not going that in depth.
You're not going that in depth.
No. They're going I'll tell you. Okay. This leads me into number 3. They'll go to the bowl game they'll not go to a bowl game the first year after Matt Campbell leaves the program. Matt Campbell will not be the coach here in 5 years. That's another one of my hot takes.
Wow, that's
It's an unfortunate one, but hey, listen.
So where will he be then?
A better job. Iowa State's going to go bowling. He's going to turn it around. He's going to be a big name, and he's going to get a lot of offers, and it's a good thing, right? You don't want to have an employee work for you that no one else wants and covets, and he's going to be coveted by everybody, and he's not going to be here. It wouldn't surprise me if he's not here in 3 years, to be honest with you.
I don't know. Some people say he's an Ames guy.
Yeah, people say that. Because he tells a story and he romance, gives all the Iowa State.
So you're saying that Matt Campbell's not a man of his word?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think he loves Iowa State. I think he loves Ames, but he's also a very competitive man, and he probably wants to compete at the highest level and coach at the highest level. And maybe, let's say, down the road, Notre Dame. I'm just throwing out a name, right? Notre Dame comes calling him. Mm-hmm. You're telling me he's not turning down or he's not leaving Iowa State for Notre Dame?
All right, so here's another question. Does a Matt Campbell disciple take over as the head coach at Iowa State?
Yeah, that's a good question. Does
Tom
Manning
– if that's how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially. I mean, I think we're going to look in 25 years and kind of see there's like a little bit of a tree coming away from Matt Campbell. Kind of like, I'm not saying to the Hayden Fry territory. Hayden Fry's tree is unbelievable.
Right.
But I think there will be a little bit of a tree that kind of trickles down from people that have coached under Matt Campbell. He's still a young guy, so it's going to take a long, long time before we start seeing that. But I think he's that kind of leader. I think he's got that kind of game plan in place within a program that guys underneath him can see it and see the success of it and then take it off and implement it within their own program and have success with it. So
you're saying that in 3 years, Tom Manning will be the head coach Lou Iene will be the offensive coordinator. That's what you're saying. That's your take.
No, that is not my take. My take is that in, I'll say four years, Matt Campbell is coaching a different program other than Iowa State. And I think it's for a positive and not a negative. I don't think it's because he gets fired for not winning. I think it's a positive in that Iowa State is winning 6, 7, 8 games in a row to where he becomes a national name. Because doing that at Iowa State gets you attention. Mm-hmm. They got Paul Rhodes' attention. People don't realize Paul Rhodes had offers to leave Iowa State. Wisconsin, Pitt, those schools came calling. He didn't take the job. A little different for Paul. His family's here. He's from the area. Matt, as much as he says he loves Iowa State, he doesn't have that pulling him like Paul Rhodes did. So I think it'll be a little easier for him to leave in 4 years. That's not a fun take, is it?
I'm indifferent on your take.
Yeah. It's a realistic take.
It's a realistic take, but I'm not going to say it's good or bad. I'm indifferent on it.
It's not a fun one. I don't like saying it.
No.
But if I'm going to go out, I'm going out saying what I think.
People are not going to be pleased with Adam Gray's final podcast.
I mean, the first two were very positive.
The first two were very positive. Then you just come in here and you just dampen the mood like this.
Well, how about I step it back up here?
All right, there you go.
So at first I wanted to do something here with Lindell Wigginton because I think Lindell's got an opportunity this year coming in that a lot of freshmen don't, where they're going to look at him and say, you are a go-to guy. I mean, we need buckets out of you, and he is a score mentality guy. So I think he could come in and I don't think it's crazy to think he could score 13, 14 a game, which normally for a freshman, I think that's just absurd to expect them to score that many. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking maybe he could be the all-time leading, or not, he could have set the single season record for a freshman scoring for Iowa State. Well, I looked that up. That's 534 by Curtis Denson. That's 16.5 a game. He's not getting 16.5 a game.
No.
So I stopped that. So then I started thinking, okay, what about him and Lewis? I think those two will go down as one of the top three tandems in Iowa State history when you get down with the scoring tandems.
Okay.
I'm not talking wins. They're not going to be like, I don't think they're going to be like George and Monte. Mm-hmm. But those two had a year difference, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about during their time, you add up all their points over their career. I think they're going to challenge actually for the top spot.
Who are the top two that you've got here?
Well, you know, like Jeff Greer, who was it that Jeff Greer played with? Like LeFester Rhodes. They're all time leading for one season at 1537. That record's never going to be broken. That record is going to stay forever. But I mean, like Pfizer and, let's see, Edgman Niang will be up there. Niang and Meyer or Morris, I'm sorry, Hoiberg and Lauren Meyer, they'll be in that conversation as well. Or Hoiberg and even Julius Meeklake. I don't have the actual total for the seasons here. I meant to get that done before, but I'll figure that out afterwards. I'll do a little research, or maybe I'll hand it off to Kirk Holland and say, Kirk, figure this out for me. But I think you add up all their points in the games that they play together. I think they have the ability to be top two scoring. I'm not saying wins. I'm not saying top two best players, but just flat out getting buckets in Iowa State history.
So you're saying that...
Because I think they're going to stay all 4 years.
So you're saying Lindell and Terrence will lead Iowa State to two Final Fours and two national championships?
No, which actually comes to me at number five.
All right, hit me with number five.
Number five. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, you can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it?
3 to 4, 3 years, Iowa State will have a new basketball coach.
Damn, you just are like, what? Like, what are you doing here? Like, see, this one is gonna be bad. I know this one is for a bad reason.
No, I mean, no, I don't necessarily think it'll be bad. I think it could almost be like one of those where I think Prohm was very well respected and he's from down south, that he could jump at an opportunity here in the next season or two to go somewhere else.
Okay.
And I love Steve Prohm, and I think he's a good coach. he walked into. I keep saying this. You know, he'll get all the credit for the first two seasons he coached at Iowa State if he continues to win at Iowa State. If they all of a sudden they step back and they don't do very well the next 2 years, he's going to be looked at just like Paul Rhodes was. Paul Rhodes, people forget. Paul Rhodes was as loved at Iowa State as any coach ever for 2 to 3 years. I mean, that guy walked on water. I'm so proud. Beat Oklahoma State. I mean, that guy could do nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, Iowa State won 2-3 games in a row, and all of a sudden the whole narrative switched. And all of a sudden, Paul Rhodes, only reason he won is because of the Chizik's and McCartney's guys. He can't do it himself. Prohm's gonna have to fight that battle too. If they don't win these next 2 years, all of a sudden all the great stuff he did as far as taking Iowa State to the Sweet 16, it's gonna be but that was with Hoiberg's guys. So he's got that. If he wins right now, great. He'll get credit for it. And if he doesn't win, That's the narrative. And you guys, people can sit here and disagree with me and say, oh, hogwash.
No, you're right.
But I'm 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't do that. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it. I've seen it before. And, I hope he does well. I think he's a good enough coach to where if he gets enough players. But let's be honest. The last couple weeks have really hurt him. And Fred didn't leave him in a great spot. There's no question about that. He had a ton of scholarships to fill. So this isn't really 100% Prohm's fault. It's it lies kind of in the middle. But between losing out on Juiced and McNeil leaving and not being able to kind of fill some of these grad transfers right away for next year, there's no question next year's a step back. I mean, you just can't get around it. Probably an NIT team, which there's nothing wrong with that as long as the next year you see the step up, which they should. Mm-hmm. They should, but we don't know. So it leads me to think it would not surprise me at all if Prohm is looking somewhere else in a couple of years, knowing that. Coaches are pretty smart nowadays. Coaches know when to get out before it turns.
See, I can't disagree with anything that you,
yeah,
that
I mean,
you laid out.
I mean, you see Quanzo Martin. How many times has he switched jobs? And he keeps landing on his feet, but he switches jobs before stuff starts going south, right? Greg McDermott took the Creighton job.
He's the
landed on his feet.
Quanzo Martin's the ultimate fail-up guy, though.
Yeah, like, no. Most people can't fail up, but I think Prohm's got enough of a history. He won at Murray State. He's won so far at Iowa State. If he has two poor seasons at Iowa State, I think he can still go take a quality job of Iowa State's caliber down south where he's from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah, and – and then, you know, Iowa State will go out and they'll hire Brian Peterson, you know, ex-Cyclone.
Yeah, I already heard this take. Yeah.
No, that was a joke. I was kidding on that take. But, yeah, no, I hope on both of my coaching things I'm wrong. But I just look at the history. I mean, they're not crazy takes if you just look at how coaching goes. Most schools don't keep coaches that long. Iowa State does. I mean, Tim Floyd was here for what, 4 years? Larry Eustace was here for what, 4 or 5 years?
I mean, I think Larry probably would have been here longer.
Sure, but he wasn't, right?
Yeah.
Wayne Morgan, 3 years. Greg McDermott, what, 4 or 5 years? Fred, 5, 6 years? I mean,
yeah.
So if I say 3 more years at a Prohm, that's 5 years. That's right on line with whatever, you know, what we've been doing. I hope it's not the case.
Some of those, there's just different circumstances, though.
Sure, but there's always circumstances that pop up, right?
Yeah.
And then really the same for football for Iowa State. Same for football. Dan McCartney was the only one that lasted an extended period of time in my lifetime. Walden wasn't very long.
I mean, they were trash.
They were, I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying coaches don't typically stay at the same school that long. I mean, Kansas State with Bill Snyder, that is almost unheard of anymore.
Well, yeah.
You just, I want that for Iowa State so, so bad. And I like both these coaches a ton. I really do. I really like both of them a lot. I just don't think either of those guys are the guys that are going to stay in Iowa State long term.
Will they find a guy like that? Or will it just – does Iowa State just need to accept the reality that they're not a school that can get that?
They had two guys like that. And unfortunately, one of them couldn't get the job done, and one of them wanted to go to the NBA. I mean, Paul Rhodes was the guy, right? He just couldn't get the job done. Paul Rhodes probably would have been a coach at Iowa State forever if he would have won.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Fred Hoiberg was the guy that if he stays in college was going to stay at Iowa State for a year. But unfortunately, he was coveted by the NBA and he wanted to coach the NBA. So they had those guys. And that's what that to me, that's what really hurts about the Fred deal. I mean, and not going into like a Fred versus Prohm deal. Not going there at all. I'm just strictly saying he had the opportunity to be our version of like a Coach K. And I'm not saying that in a national championship sense, but a guy that's going to be here for 30 years if he wanted to be coaching that long. I think he wanted to be if he was in college. So Yeah, those are my five. They're not – three of them are exciting and fun to think about. Two of them are going to get people all up in arms, but that's fine. Let's stir the pot before I leave.
See, now this is going to be your final – the thing that everybody remembers about you.
I think most people will hopefully remember – I mean, I've done over probably 300 podcasts in my time here at Cyclone Fanatic, and I'm not a negative person, am I?
Sure. I don't know. I mean, you towed the line.
I'm realistic.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus Live, and it's coming to you, Cyclone fans. Direct from sellout shows across the globe, the world's greatest action sports show comes to Ames for the first time ever. Featuring 30 of the world's best athletes in freestyle motocross and BMX, plus insane contraptions launched from the 40-foot-high Nitro Giganta ramp. Coming to Jagtri Stadium on June 3rd. That's a Saturday. It's a week from Saturday. Will you be there, Adam Gray?
A week from Saturday, I'm looking into it. I'd like to take my boys there. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I might have to check that out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I feel like I have something coming up. I have a party that night. I have a party at my house.
On June 3rd?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not invited. It's not a big deal.
I don't want to be.
Two of my best friends, they're coming back down for his mother's retirement party on Friday, and it happens to be his birthday the day before, and her birthday is a couple days after. So I just said, hey, there's a bunch of our friends too that still haven't been to our new place, and I said, let's throw a little bit of a party so people can see our new place and wish you guys happy birthday. So we're throwing a little joint party at our Casa de Grey.
So friends are more important than Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus?
No, actually, that's a hell of a point. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just open the doors for them. I'll throw a cooler full of Busch Light, and I'll go up to Pastrana and watch him.
But make sure you grab a couple of the Busch Lights for Pastrana.
Do you think that's okay? Will they sell that in Jagtri?
No, but I can't imagine that they won't allow it in the parking lots.
I bet they'll sell it in Jagtri, won't they? Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. I feel like Iowa State will probably make money off the concessions.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they will, but I mean, it's not a college event. Why would they not sell liquor on that?
I guess I don't.
They should.
I mean, I've never been to a concert like at Hilton or anything like that, so I don't know if they sell beer at those or anything.
That's really cool. They're doing that. That is really cool. I hope they continue to do more and more of that stuff. I know it started with just the movie night, which I keep saying every year I'm gonna get up there, I'm gonna take the kids to it, and I never have.
Shows what kind of fan you are.
Okay.
And you just leave this job that so many Cyclone fans would probably love to have. You're just like, no, you guys aren't even that important to me. That's pretty much what you said.
Who are you guys? Is it you, the like you and Chris and Rob, or is it you guys like the fans? Who are you talking about?
Both.
Both?
All of us.
Well, the fans are
We're all in the same boat here.
The fans are very important to me. You guys, nah, not really. I'll be all right. But no, listen, I'm not going to try to make this a whole... I don't want to make this all about me, but I've had a good time here. I've enjoyed every aspect of it. This is my
You're
last.
You're just like an Iowa State coach. You were here what?
Four and a half years. And a half year,
there you go. Yeah. Just on the same timeline.
You know what? Before you get another opportunity, it just happens sometimes.
You're like Hoiberg jumping the NBA.
Oh, man. Hopefully this isn't my last official. I mean, this will be my last podcast as an employee here. But, hopefully down the road, you guys will bring me back for one or two here or there.
Maybe, yeah.
If you ever get real desperate.
I might let you come on our podcast with Tommy. If Tommy ever can't come and do one, I'll maybe let you come on.
You know, so this is, I'll say this, and I don't want you to feel too good about yourself, but I did the Fallcast 125 episodes. I've done CFTV Live with Woody. My favorite one, honest to God, was always the one I did with you, the On the Trail. You know, Chris, for years, I kept telling him, we got to cover recruiting more. There's an audience for it. He never quite was in agreement with me, but we started doing it. You've done a great job with it. And I think you see it. I mean, shoot, we see it in the podcast, the download numbers. Right away when we started doing it, it was, one of the more, listened to podcasts. I always enjoy doing it because for me, people sit here and say, well, following recruiting is stupid. These guys, until they show up at Iowa State, it doesn't really matter. Well, yeah, but you still got to get them here. And for Iowa State to ever get to where Iowa State fans want them to be, whether it's the Final Four in basketball or to consistent bowl games in football, it starts with players. I mean, it really does. And so I enjoy watching the recruiting process, as painful as it can be sometimes, especially when you lose out of like a Darius McNeil. I enjoy the process. I enjoy watching these people and seeing if our predictions as far as what this guy could become are right in line or completely garbage. Half the time they're probably completely garbage, but that's the fun in it. I enjoy doing the podcast with you more than any other podcast.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, I just wanted to, I mean, you've done a lot for me in the last 4 years, pretty much, since I started working here.
Has it been 4 years for you?
Yeah. In August, I'll be starting my fifth year covering Iowa State.
All five with CF?
Yeah.
I don't think I met you the whole first year you worked for us, though.
No, I don't think so either. But then when I started coming to the office sometimes,
yep,
we met each other.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, people don't know this, but, you know, when I had all my stuff that happened earlier this year, you were the guy that called me the night that I was in Clarinda and, you know, really kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit and helped me calm down. And you've always been like a big brother to me, dude, and you've done a lot for me.
Absolutely.
And I hope you know that I love you. Even though you're going away, you know, you'll still be one of my best friends. And,
I love you too, buddy. And, I mean, even though I'm gone too, call me anytime. You know that. I mean, any of the guys know that. Williams likes to tell me that I'm kicked out of the Slack app all the time. But that's going to be the most difficult part for me, is not having the daily communication with you guys that I've had for 4.5 years. I've loved everything about it. And you're ever in a pinch or you need just any advice, I mean, like I tell you all the time, you know, you're 22. Man, everything you're going through, I've been through it too. You know, Chris been through, most people have been through it. And so, you know, you sit there and you have conversations with people, and hopefully I can give you just a little bit of good advice, and half of it's crap and you throw it out the window. But no, you know, it means a lot. And, you know, the good thing with you too, man, is your best days are ahead of you. They absolutely are. And you're getting better every day that you're covering Iowa State. I tell Chris this the other day. I mean, shoot, the last 6 months, you've gone from here to here. People listening right now, is how high is he? I'm going up high right now.
Yeah.
My hand's up high. You've done a great job, and you're going to continue to get better. And I'm going to enjoy now just sitting back and watching you do it. So
thanks, dude.
Yeah.
I know you're going to do great. We're going to miss you.
Thank you.
I'll miss doing the podcast with you. I was going to go back and count how many episodes we did, but I don't know how many it was. It was over a year. I know that we're probably pretty close to right on a year, actually.
Me and you probably done at least 50 together, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, at least.
And then if you count CFTV, probably close to 75, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Well, we did some podcasts together even before that, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like I said, I've probably done over 300, I would imagine, at Cyclone Fanatic. And I did some even before when I was at Nationwide and I had my agency. Chris and I would do some when he got real desperate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that the level of growth at Cyclone Fanatic, you know, when I was first advertising, it was me and maybe a couple other companies, and so he would let me on, and now, you know, shoot, Chris has got the whole thing. I think he did maybe one podcast every 2 weeks, and now what are we at, 4 or 5 podcasts a week?
Yeah.
It's incredible, but I know a couple people on the I don't want to make this about me again, but a couple people did ask on the forums what exactly is I'll be doing. I'm going to be an assistant agency manager at Farm Bureau. So recruiting agents to Farm Bureau to, you know, to sell. I'm going to have to be calling up Campbell and say, hey, you're a heck of a recruiter. How is it that you're doing such a good job? Because that'll be my job now, as recruiting. And I'm really excited about it. I got a tremendous, just like I have a tremendous team with Cyclone Fanatic, I'll be joining a tremendous team over there at Farm Bureau. The guy who hired me, RVP, is actually Ryan Harklaw, who is a name you're probably not familiar with. He's before your time, but he was a 2-time captain at Iowa State back in the early 2000s. His senior season, they went 9-3, winningest team in Iowa State history. And then he played for the Jacksonville Jaguars before, I think he got a staph infection, which is the reason he had to hang him up. But heck of a nice guy. He's the RVP there at Farm Bureau. Hire me and him and his team there. I know a couple other guys. Great setup, great culture, and I'm really excited to be joining it. So anybody, I'm not going to be going away. I'll still be on the farms from time to time. If anybody ever has any questions, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be happy to help out any way possible.
You'll still be giving your garbage takes on Twitter.
You know what? I don't know if you noticed, I don't tweet very much anymore.
Yeah. You're not a media member anymore.
I was never a media member. But I don't find Twitter is really tough for me right now. I
Because you know you're alienating everybody?
It's so negative.
Oh, okay.
I try to find myself to be somewhat of a positive guy. I know two of my takes here people take as negative, but it's so negative, and everybody's such a smart mouth on there. Everyone's got to be the funnier, make fun of somebody else. You know me, I hate the quote retweet. Mm-hmm. If Twitter went away from the quote retweet, I think the world would be a better place because everyone can take something out of context, quote retweet, and be ha-ha, laugh. Everyone likes it and retweets it, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's all over the place. I absolutely hate it. I think quote retweeting is for pansies. That's my hot take. If you quote retweet somebody and make fun of them, you're a pansy.
We will let you leave the podcast with that. Thanks, Adam.
I hate it.
Thanks, Adam, for a year of On the Trail podcasts.
Go back and delete that pansy out. I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, it's staying there.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. It was fun.
The podcast will come out tomorrow on Thursday, and then, of course, Chris and I will have a Saturday podcast. And then I think Tommy and I are going to get started with our new podcast on Monday.
So what is your guys, do you have a name for it? What's it going to be about? Is it about recruiting still?
It'll probably just be about everything.
Everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get some recruiting in there. But the recruiting podcast is not going to go away. I want to make sure that people know that.
Yeah.
It will just be changing. I'm not sure there will be one set team of hosts. It'll probably be me and Chris sometimes. It might be, you know, maybe Rob will come in and do it a little bit. Or
Chris has got his ear to the ground pretty good in basketball, so I'd imagine if there's a basketball take, he's probably going to be on that podcast.
Yeah, I would imagine it'll be end up being me and Chris a lot of the time.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited about you and Tommy. You know, I like to have fun with Tommy too, but he's a heck of a good guy. You guys will do a great podcast together.
Yep, so that'll come out on Monday, and thanks again to Heartland Flags and Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus for presenting today's podcast. Signing off. Have a great weekend, everybody.